first time I ever met him, I think, was at Brother Langston's camp meeting, I think. And they cut him loose and let him preach, and him and Ryan Goins, it's about to take 14 laps around this place. I mean, it's exciting. Amen. Yeah. And he's been on fire for the Lord ever since. And we do appreciate him.
Thank you very much, brother. Appreciate it.
Just preach to us.
Yes, sir.
Tell us what we need to hear.
Yes, Amen. Sir. God bless you. Amen. Well, I enjoyed the Sunday school, enjoyed the service thus far, and enjoyed the good singing, the choir singing, and I enjoy that song particularly. I'm glad my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm glad that I can know that my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I remember years ago hearing Brother Mike Bagwell said he had somebody come up to him, and he said, Brother Bagwell, I understand that we're in the palms of God's hand, but what happens if we decide to jump out of those hands? Brother Bagwell said, well, my goodness. I mean, he dipped out the oceans with them. They're pretty big hands. He'd have to go a long ways to jump out of them. But he said, but then he got to reading and found out over in the book of Psalms, of course, we're told that we're engraven in the palms of his hands. And I don't know if you get it or not, but something had to be, to engrave something, something's got to be taken away. I'm glad when I got born again, God took my old man away, took my sin away, and I was engraven in the palms of his hands. I can't jump out of his hands. I'm engraven in the palms of his hands. And who'd want to anyway? And I've been saved since I was 5 years old, got saved as a five-year-old boy at South Cahuta Baptist Church under Brother Eddie Davis. And Brother Eddie Davis, I don't know if any of y'all know him or not, probably one of the greatest preachers in the Southeast and, well, in the United States, but got saved under his ministry. And boy, it's been a good life. And I'm 46 years old, and I can stand here and tell you without stuttering, without stammering, for 41 years now, what a life God has let me live. And you can go off and chase all the things in this world if you want to. God will let you. And you can do it if you want to. But I'm here to tell you, you won't find anything as lovely, as peaceful, as a life lived for God. And what this world needs is to turn back to God. What the United States of America needs is to turn back to God. And matter of fact, if you'll turn with me to Psalms chapter 86, I want to preach on the subject of revival this morning. I really wanted to preach a different message. I believe when I was here, I think me and my wife, she figured it out. I couldn't remember, but I agreed with her when she figured it out. I believe that we were here in September around Labor Day of last year, and I write these things down. It's the only way I can remember them. And I preached on Jochebed, the mother of Moses, that Sunday morning. What a story that is. And then I preached on Seth, the third son of Adam and Eve. And we don't know much about him, but we know that when his son was born, men began to call on the name of the Lord. What a testimony. And if I could be an influence on somebody, if men would call upon the name of the Lord because of my ministry or my service, I don't know that there could be a greater testimony. But I'd mentioned in preaching that I had preached up at the camp several years ago on the three daughters of Job. And the thought behind it from the sadder days to the latter days. And I really wanted to preach that this morning. I'd mentioned it. Brother Steve said, we'll preach it next time you're here. But the Lord directed me this way, and maybe tonight. We'll try tonight. I try to follow the leadership of the Lord. I've tried it my way too many times. And so maybe tonight, if the Lord will let us, we'll go over into the book of Job. Now, I'm not promising anything, because if the Lord changes direction, I'll change right with Him. But maybe tonight. But this morning, I'd like to preach to you out of Psalms chapter 86, a very familiar text. But I want to read, it's not very many, Psalms chapter 85. Sorry about that. I think I said 86. I done that to myself this morning too. I pulled down a book off my shelf and it's an old book and it's in Roman numerals and it's hard to figure out what is a, I don't know what Roman numeral, it's like LXXXVII, I don't know what it is. And it took me a while to get there and I started reading it and I said, this don't make any sense, it don't sound, and I had my own self in 86. And so Psalms chapter 85, it's only 13 verses, and so I want to read the entire psalm, but we'll only focus on one verse this morning. But I want to look at the subject of revival, and that's what we need, what America needs. And hey, I'm not afraid to say it. It don't make any difference to me. I try not to get too political in the pulpit, but I'm glad that Trump's back in office. And I'm glad America's headed the way that it's headed, and I hope it continues to do so. But I'll also say this, Donald Trump, although I think he's trying to do what's best for America, I don't know that he's doing everything right. I doubt he is. He's a man like everybody else is. He's got a lot of faults, a lot of things about him I don't like. But I believe that he cares about America. I believe he cares about the American people, but he's not my Savior.
Amen.
Amen. And although he may turn some things around in America, he's not going to turn it all around. What needs to happen in America is America needs to turn back to God. America needs revival. And I hope, above anything else for Donald Trump, I hope the man's saved. Amen. I don't know if he is or not. I want to think that he is, and I know that he mentions the Savior from time to time. I don't know if he's saved or not, but above anything else, if he's not, Brother Steve, I hope he gets born again. I'll go ahead and say this. I'm pretty sure Joe Biden's not, but I hope he gets saved. I don't want to see anybody die and go to hell. And Republican, Democrat, whatever the other parties that are out there, non-affiliations, whatever it is, I want them all to get born again. Amen. And we need revival in America. America needs to turn back to God, and our churches need to turn back to God. And if our churches need to turn back to God, that means our families will turn back to God. And if our families turn back to God, that means our mamas and our daddies will turn back to God. We need revival, amen, and we need it to go all the way down to a personal level in the hearts of individuals. Amen. That's where revival will start. And so let's read Psalm chapter 85, and then we'll look at one passage of Scripture that you all could probably quote and pull five thoughts straight from that Scripture, straight from words of that text. The Bible says, Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto Thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. And Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. And I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Boy, don't that sound like a glorious place to live. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. And righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. That's reading all of Psalm 85, and we're not going to deal with the majority of it, but I do want to focus our attention to verse number 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, and that thy people may rejoice in thee. Let's pray, and then we'll try to cover these thoughts this morning. Heavenly Father, I love you and thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Once again, thank you for this church. Thank you for Brother Camp. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd bless this church, bless his ministry, encourage him. God, help him in all ways, Lord, to stand in this pulpit. And Lord, help these people and touch this community around. I pray, God, that you'd bless in the preaching hour this morning. I pray, God, that you'd speak to our hearts from this text. Pray, God, that you'd use me in spite of my faults and failures and inabilities. Lord, I come before you this morning and I have nothing else to admit this morning but that I am wicked. And I pray, God, that you would search my heart, forgive me my sins and shortcomings, Lord. Anything unconfessed between myself and you, Lord, that maybe has slipped my mind, I ask, God, that you'd forgive me once again. I plead the blood. I ask you, God, to use me in spite of myself, Lord, as a mouthpiece for your precious word. I pray, God, that you'd help, Lord, as every word that comes out of my mouth would only be that which you'd have me to say. Bar my tongue against anything hateful, anything, Lord, that would hurt your people. I pray, God, that you'd use this time, Lord, to glory and honor your name, glorify and honor your name, and we'd give you the thanks and praise and honor for it all. In Jesus' wonderful name I ask, amen. I want to preach to you on the thought of revival this morning. And boy, we need revival. We need revival in our hearts, our homes, in our churches. And we need that more than anything. We need that more than a tax cut. We need that more than new signed in legislation. We need that more than a new church building or a new coat of paint on the walls or new carpet. We need that more than a new car or a new position down at our job. We need that more than our little grandbaby or grandson or daughter to hit a layup or hit a home run at the baseball field. I'm telling you, we need revival. I need revival. There's been a few times in my life that I believe, Brother Camp, that I have been able to experience what I would say is true God-sent revival. But it's been a very few times down through the years. It seems like that the very heart of revival has been stifled somehow. Down through the years, mainly by us getting in the way of things. And I want to look at this text this morning, and I want to pull some words directly from this verse of Scripture. Stay right here with the Bible. And boy, I like doing that more than anything these days, just simply preaching the Word of God. I found that if I'll leave my opinions out of it, if I'll leave my thoughts and ideologies out of it, I get in a whole lot less trouble. Amen. Just stick right with the Word of God. And so the Scripture says once again, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Let's break this down this morning into five quick points, and we'll try to get done as quick as we can, get you to the dinner table somewhere. I'm hungry myself, and so that helps us out a lot. Let's look at this. Let's first off look at, wilt thou not revive us again? I want to look at the resource of revival, the resource of revival. It's found in that one word there, thou. I want to tell you, revival comes from God and God alone. God is the resource of revival. You'll not get it any other way. I mean, there are folks these days are trying it every which way. They're trying new plans and new prescriptions and new this and that in the church. They're bringing everything under the sun, in bringing the world really into the church house and calling it revival. And they say you can come however you want to, dress however you want to dress, act like however you want. We'll listen or play whatever kind of music you want to listen to. We'll turn the lights off. We'll turn them on. We'll bring smoke in and lasers and fog. We'll do whatever you want to do just as long as you'll come. And they'll say, look at the great revival. I don't know if you remember a couple of years ago they had the Asbury Revival or whatever up there, and all of a sudden it started showing up all over the internet and making news and everything else. The only problem was, Brother Camp, was there wasn't nobody preaching up there. I mean, there's a bunch of people showing up, and there's driving all over from the country, and there's laid out on the ground. I mean, I'm not saying that everything about it was bad. I'm just saying God chose the foolishness of preaching to bring the Word of God out. And He'll use preaching to bring revival. He'll use it. And if nobody's up preaching, I've got to question, is it a revival or is it just something, some fanatical thing going on? Listen, when there's no, when God is the resource of revival and God is holy, and revival will come His way by His will. Amen. We're not going to come in here and change things around. Now listen, I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I've been in church my whole life. And matter of fact, I've been in church 9 months before I was born. My mom brought me to church 9 months before I ever stepped foot on this face of this earth. And I thank God for that. That's all I remember. I mean, I'm speaking from a little bit of experience here. I'm telling you, I have been in church, and in my household, there wasn't no question whether or not we were going. I knew better than to ask if I could go here or there on Wednesday night or Sunday night. I knew just go ahead and leave it alone. The answer was going to be no. We're going to church. I knew when revival time come around. I knew, Brother Camp, that Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night and Thursday night and Friday night where I was going to be. Amen. I was told all through my life, we didn't let anything get in the way. And I thank God for that. Amen. I'm telling you, it instilled something in me. It's not hard for me to get up on Sunday morning and get ready to go to the house of God. It's not hard for me to wake up from a nap on Sunday afternoon and get down the house of God. There's something inside of me that's been instilled in me that this is where I'm supposed to be. Amen. Amen. It's not strange that I'm over in Chickamauga this morning at Old Bethel Baptist Church preaching the Word of God. I knew I was going to be in church somewhere this morning by the grace of God. Amen. It's going to be here somewhere. Amen. And I thank God for that. But listen, there's a lot of things I don't like about church. Amen. Over the 46 years that I've been going to church, I figured out there's a lot of things about church that I don't like. And I figured out somewhere down the line, it wasn't anything that God had in store for church. It's where men's got in the way and messed it up. Amen. It's when men's got in the way and fouled things up. It's when we've left the way of God and the will of God and we've tried to bring the world in. That's the things that I don't like about church, amen. I don't like it when things get out of order down at the house of God. God's got an order for everything. He's got an order for the home, and boy, hadn't the world messed that up. They say now God made a union between a husband and a wife and He created it that way. And the world said, we don't like that. And we'll just let women marry women and men marry men and we'll let everything take place. Amen. They destroyed the order of God. And we've done it. We're guilty of doing it down at the house of God. God's got an order down at the house of God, and he calls men to pastor a church, and that individual, that pastor of the church, is not the dictator down there. He's the under shepherd. Amen. That man is to answer to God and to do things God's way down at the house of God. And I believe Brother Camp tries to do that. And I pastored for quite a few years and I tried to do that. I tried to do things God's way. And I answered to God for my actions. But when some family or some deacon or somebody else steps up down at the house of God and tries to overrule the under-shepherd and tries to run things and it blows up the order of God, you're in trouble of bringing some things in the house of God that are going to cause people to not like church. Amen. You go ahead and go out and witness to people if you want to and find out what they... I'm telling you, try it out and see if I'm not telling you the truth. Would you like to come down to Old Bethel Baptist Church and visit with us on Sunday morning? Well, I used to go to church up at this particular church up the road, but that pastor up there, he got to doing this and got out of the will of God, and it hurt me, and I quit, and I ain't been back since. Or so-and-so, or sister so-and-so, or brother so-and-so. I'm telling you, when we get in trouble is when we get away. God's the source of revival, and we'll have revival God's way by God's will, or we won't have it at all. And that's why a lot of churches ain't having revival at all. Amen. And we don't you want revival? David had to be revived. He prayed one time, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." I have no doubt in my mind this morning that there's several of you sitting here under the sound of my voice, and it's been a long time since you felt true, absolute joy in your salvation. It's been a long time since somebody got up and sang some of the song. Hey, listen, I'm going to be honest with you this morning, and I'm as guilty as anybody that's sitting in here, so I don't mind pointing fingers knowing that they're pointing back at me too. If it hurts your feelings, just know it hurts mine too. Them songs that were sang this morning, we all should have been shouting. We all should have been shedding tears of joy. We all should have had a smile on our face. We all should have had our arms raised up in heaven. You say, "Well, I'm not a shouter." Well, don't shout, cry then. You say, "Well, I'm not much of a crier." Well, laugh or do something. We all should have been doing something for God this morning when we're singing, "I Know My Name Is There." But we pretty much just sat there like bumps on pickles. Heard it again for the... We sang that song down there all the time. I know, but boy, if we had true joy of ourselves, if we experienced revival and had true joy in our heart, we'd get excited when somebody quoted John 3:16. We'd get excited when somebody sang the old rugged cross. Amen. And so God's the source of, He's the resource of revival and the source of revival. And we won't have, you've got this movement today, and I'm going to say something about it. And I don't know if any of you, some of you may disagree with me, but all right, you better go do some studying. You got this thing, I just saw a commercial just the other day, maybe it was yesterday, that He Gets Us movement, you know, they got going on. He Gets Us, and this is all of us. And He don't get us. Jesus showed back up in the garden after Adam and Eve sinned, and He said, "Adam, where art thou?" He gets us. That's a demonic message of inclusivity. Just do, come, just be whoever you want to be, and just know that God loves you so much He'll be okay with it. I'm going to make one statement, and I'm going to blow that straight out of the water. Jesus Himself said, He said, "I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do the will of the Father, the one that sent me." Amen. And if Jesus said that, Jesus said, "I've got to do the will of the Father, not my will," then you better not buy into some satanic, "He gets all of us." Amen. It'll be God's way or no way. We won't have revival at all. And I'm afraid that churches have got to a place today where they've decided that they're going to do it their way, one way or the other. And so therefore, we're not experiencing revival anymore in churches. And you listen to me. I'm sitting here looking over a crowd. You've got children who are out of church. Some of you mamas and daddies that are here right now, you've got children, they're out of church, and boy, your heart breaks over that, and you want to see them back in. You know what we need? We need revival down at the house of God. Some of you's got grandchildren, and they've grown up now, and they're at an age where they're making their own decisions, and they're out of church, and we need revival down at the house of God. Amen. I heard a story years ago, and this... fella lived down the road from a church, and he had been invited by the pastor and several people in the church numerous times to come and visit the church. Turned them down every time, wouldn't come, never darkened the door in the church. One day the pastor got a phone call, terrible thing. The church was on fire. Something had happened, and there was a fire that had come up, and several of them, the deacons and the men rushed there. The fire department was already there. And lo and behold, there stood that fella. And they got the fire out and was able to salvage the building, save it before it all got too far. And in talking, the fire department, one of the fellows, the firemen, told the pastor, said, boy, if it wouldn't have been for that man right there, this church would have burnt to the ground. Said he noticed it and saw it and called and got us over there, and he was here. He was here before we got here, pointing us directly where to go. And that pastor, that kind of, it was odd to him. Said, why in the world would he care so much about the church? I've invited him and he's never came. He walked over and asked the gentleman, said, why did you do this? And we've asked you so many times and you won't come. He said, the first time I've seen a fire down at that church in years. Amen. And we laugh at that. But why in the world do you expect folks to come to church if nothing ever happens down at the church? Amen. You're grumbling on the way in and grumbling on the way out, and church was too cold and it was too long and the preacher was too loud, and if he hadn't been, he is this morning. Amen. It don't bother me. I just am. God made me who I am. It'd tear me apart sometimes. I see people squint when my voice. I know it's not the greatest voice in the world. I've had to hear it all my life. And I'll see him, Brother Camp, every now and then I'll hit one of them kindly sour high notes, you know, and see people grin. And that used to bother me. God made me this way. I can't help it. I mean, you don't say nothing about the people on Sunday afternoon. I saw one of them football, you know, coldest NFL football games on history, and they panned across the crowd and some guy was painted half yellow and half green with no shirt on, and it was 17 below zero, and everybody says, look at them fans, boy. Them are real fans. You get somebody shout down at the house of God and they say, that person's crazy. Fanatic. Look at them. Why they act like that? I don't belong in the house of God. Well, you better not read the book of Revelation. Amen. If this bothers you this morning, you're in trouble when you get to heaven. Amen. There's slinging crowns at his feet and worshiping, and you got seraphims and cherubims that I can't even begin to really picture in my mind, with six wings and eyeballs all over their wings, and they're praising God continuously, amen. And the 24 elders get involved in it, and they're all worshiping God, and then the heavenly choir gets to singing a song. I'm telling you, it's going to be a worship service when we get the house of God. Amen. And God will be the source of the worship, and he'll be the source of revival. Amen. I've got to move on. I preached that a lot longer than I thought. 5 points. The resource of revival. Wilt thou revive us again? God's the resource of revival. Secondly, the requirement of revival. The requirement of revival. Look at this. Wilt thou not revive us again? Revival is a requirement. Time and time again. Listen, that's why I come to church. I've already talked about all my life coming to being faithful to church. I didn't have no choice but to be faithful to church when I was a kid. That's where we was going. But when I got out of my house and got married, ever since then, we've made a choice to be faithful. Now my kids ain't had a choice. Connor's sitting back there, he's 12 years old. In 12 years, he ain't never had a choice whether he's going to go to church or not. Amen. And I've got a boy, he's not here with me this morning, 20 years old now, and his girlfriend's off to college, and when she comes back home from time to time, he'll go to church with her. And so he's down there with her. He'll probably be here with us tonight. But he's 20 years old, and I'll never have to fight him. Now, I might have to go wake him up 2 or 3 times and make sure that they get going, and make sure he gets, ready so that the other one can get in there. But I don't ever have to fight him to go to the house of God. Sometimes we're out of town, and my two boys will get in the truck and they'll go on to church. We're at Catoosa Baptist Tabernacle up there in between pastor and churches. And I'm telling you, there's something about mamas and daddies being faithful to the house of God. But I come over and over again because I need help over and over again. I don't know if you're anything like me, but I'm wicked. And this flesh is my single worst enemy on the face of this earth. And I need to be preached to on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. We're going to have missions revival this week. It starts today there at Catoosa. I plan on, if the Lord's willing, I believe He is, I'll be there tomorrow night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. And I go back to church because I need help over and over again. I need to be reminded where God got me from. I need to be reminded what is sin and what. I'm telling you. You say, you're telling me you've been preaching for 23 years and you need that much preaching. Oh, I need a lot more than that. Amen. So I need help over and over again. I tell people all the time, I said, it's the reason why I go to church, same reason that them lame and impotent and sick people laid around the pool of Bethesda there. They laid there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because they didn't know when the angel of the Lord was going to trouble the water, but they were sick. And if they had any chance of getting in there and getting healed, they had to be as close to it as they could. That's why I come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. I don't know when God's going to show up. I don't know when He's going to move. I don't know when I'm going to get the help that I need. So I'm just there all the time. Amen. Amen. I need it over and over again. Well, we need revival over and over again. Now, I don't know. I've got to move on and go a little bit faster than I am. But I don't know. Well, could you hold your foot back just a little bit? Right, that tee's got me tore up right there. Amen. Kind of. See, my flesh, it's bad. I'm just kidding with you. I'm really not. I'm a Georgia fan. But anyway, I need it again and again and again. See how easy things can... Honestly, in all reality, we laugh about that. But I saw that orange tee on there and it caught my attention. I'm supposed to be preaching. We need it again and again because that's the way our flesh is. That's the way our flesh is. You'll come in and shout on church on Sunday morning, thank God and praise God all day long, and get up on Monday and go to work and have the worst day you've ever had in your life. Feel like you can't get a prayer through. Feel like you're as far away from... Sunday, you feel like you're as close to God as you've been in a long time, and Monday, you feel like you're as far away from Him as you've ever been. That's the way we are. And so the requirement of revival is it has to be over and over again. Amen. I need revived again. Amen. And I'm telling you, I don't understand why we wouldn't want more revivals at the house of God. I mean, if you, if you have some type of an ailment, and there's a lot of different ailments out there where, people go. My brother that passed away this last year, he was a bad diabetic. And when his sugar would drop to a certain level, he would go incoherent. You know, I couldn't do anything with him. And you got to do something to get his sugar raised back up to where he had come back to consciousness. And no matter how many times that happened, you try to revive them over and over again. Who's gonna sit there and watch their brother or their child or their husband or their wife? Listen, if something happens to your husband or your wife, you'll go to the hospital as many times as you need to get it fixed. Why wouldn't we want to get revived down at the house of God over and over again? Amen. But you try to have meetings these days and folks are so busy. They've got so much stuff going on that it begins to be something that's in the way. In the way of what? Amen. The requirement of revival is it's needed again and again and again. So we've got the resource of revival. God, the requirement again. But then the request for revival. Look at that first phrase. Wilt thou not revive us again? That's a question, petition to God. Revival is the answer to prayer. If you don't want revival, if you're not asking God for revival, if you're not petitioning revival in your own life, don't expect revival to take place down at the house of God. Amen. Pastors have to get up. Brother Camp, it ought not be so. Brother Justin Gasway is my pastor over there at Catoosa. And for the last probably 2 months or so, moving into this missions revival that we're having this week, he has been asking every service for folks to pray for the revival. Now, I understand that, and I do the same thing. I've done the same thing when I was pastoring. But my goodness, that ought to be something that we ought not even have to say in the pulpit. Would you pray for our upcoming revival? Or would you pray for revival? There ought to be folks in here before Brother Steve ever... You got a revival scheduled or anything coming up? Good. All right. Well, he ain't got it scheduled. But it ought not be that old Bethel Baptist Church waits on Brother Camp to step in that pulpit and say, on such and such day at such and such time, we're going to have such and such evangelist come and preach a revival. Would you begin to pray? You all ought to be praying for revival right now. Amen. Amen. You ought to be praying that it might not, that you can't make it to September to have a revival, amen. You say, well, we never have had a revival in April at Old Bethel. Well, it's a good time to start, amen. Amen. It'd be a good time for a revival to break out this morning, amen. Amen. Then I wouldn't have to preach tonight. We'd just come over here and shout it out, amen. Amen. Wilt thou not revive us again? It's a prayer. A prayer to the source. They were asking God, would you do it? And would you do it again? Amen. And I'm telling you, if you've ever experienced revival, whether it was in your heart or whether it was in the church house, if you've ever really experienced revival, you want it again. Amen. You want it again. Nobody will have to twist your arm. At a chance at revival again. And so we've got the resource of revival, God, the requirement, again, the request. It's an answer to prayer. It's a prayer that we ought to be praying. But then the results of revival. And I just got two more and we'll be done. The results of revival. Look at it. The prayer, wilt thou revive us again that thy people may rejoice. The results of revival. The results of real revival will bring to mind where God got you from, where you were headed, where you're now going, amen. It'll remind you that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It'll remind you where your source of peace and joy and comfort is. It'll remind you all these things. And I'm telling you, you'll rejoice, amen. And it won't just stop at the church house either. I remember, and I'm telling you the truth, I remember when I was just a boy up at South Cahutta Baptist Church, and I got to experience a few revivals up there as a young man that, I mean, made a mark on me, brother, that I've never forgot. But I remember services there at South Cahutta Baptist Church, and man, the Holy Ghost of God moved through that place, and it'd be... you know, sometimes it's shouting weather, but sometimes you're just afraid to move. There were times even when I was pastoring that I'd just sit there in that chair up there and it'd just be silence for a little while. That's things that used to scare me, you know, in church. You know, you always feel like you need to have something to say and a plan for the next move and everything. Sometimes the best move is sit there and wait on God. Amen. It ought not bother you down here when Brother Camp, if he ever sets up there and says, just give me a minute. I'm not real sure what to do. Don't you count that against him. You better count that for him. Amen. Just give me a minute. I don't really know what to do just yet. Wait on the Lord. Now, I remember some of those meetings where it got so thick there at South Cahutta. And we'd listen to Mom. We had a old four-door Buick LeSabre. We'd drive back and forth to church in. And I remember it had a cassette tape in there. And she had several tapes and the bishops and some different groups back in those days. And we'd listen to them things just over and over again. I mean, I'd heard them so many times. I knew what song was coming after the last song ended, you know. And they were good songs and good groups. But I remember getting back in the car after some of them meetings, and my mom, I watched her. She'd reach up there and just turn the radio off, and she said, I just don't want nothing to spoil. Said, and I remember her telling, when we get home, don't turn no TV on. Yeah. Don't turn no video game on. I don't want anything to spoil what I'm feeling right now.
I'm telling you, revival will bring rejoicing in your heart, in your life. And it'll be something that it's better than what you can find on the television. And it's better than you can find anywhere else. Amen. And it'll bring a peace and a rejoicing in your heart that supersedes anything that this world has. And this is foreign to some of you this morning. Some of you young people don't know what I'm talking about. And it's our fault, Brother Steve, because we quit praying and begging God for revival. Amen. Amen. That's why the generations behind us don't understand when we get up and start talking about things like this. I thank God that I was raised in a home where I was put in that. I experienced it myself, amen. And it made a difference in my heart and life. I pray a lot of times. Listen, I'm telling you the truth this morning. I pray a lot of times for my two boys. I beg God, would you do for them what you did for me as a 10-year-old boy? Amen. God done something for me. When I was young, He began to work in my heart and He instilled something in me. I'm telling you that's still, and it's getting better and better and better. Amen. I'm praying that God will do the same thing for my boys. That they'll get the same thing that God done for me as a young man. But it's up to me. It's up to me to live in front of them. It's up to me to and my boys have heard me preach now for years and years. But I try to mirror my life to my preaching. Amen. Amen. And so the results of the revival is a time of great joy and rejoicing. We ain't had a whole lot to rejoice about in America over the last 4, 5, 6 years, have we? I could go back farther than that, but I'm going to go back however long that little virus deal that came through. Boy, it really turned everything upside down, didn't it? That's some of my least favorite years of my life. I'm being honest with you. That's some of my least favorite years of my life. I remember standing over there at New Bethel Baptist Church in Tryon, Georgia, where I pastored. And New Bethel and Old Bethel, there's bunches of them all around. I pastored New Bethel Baptist Church. And I remember standing over there for a couple of months by myself, preaching to a phone. Some of my least favorite years of my life. People in hospitals couldn't go see him, couldn't go be. I had a stroke during the middle of that, and it wasn't a bad one, but it was, I guess, is there a good stroke? And I was in Memorial up there for 3 days, you know, and my wife was the only one that could come in there, and they said, if you come in, you can't leave. If you leave, you can't come back. I mean, it was just terrible. And we ain't had a whole lot to rejoice over in America in the last 5 or 6 years. And I already told you, I'm glad the country's going kindly the direction it is now, but it ain't really gave me too much to rejoice over just yet. Price of gas still high. Price of eggs still high. Everything, everywhere I go still costs money. I mean, we don't hardly go out and eat anymore because it costs $100 for people to go eat at the McDonald's now. I'm telling you, there ain't much to rejoice over here. We need revival, amen. I need God to show up. I want to be in the presence of the Holy Ghost of God. I want to have something to rejoice over, amen. God help me. Amen. If you're wondering this morning, some of you don't know me, is this an act? This ain't no act. Come anywhere else. I'll preach like this anywhere. And wilder than this at Camp Canaan. Yeah, you got folks running and shouting and I mean I preach wilder than this at Camp Canaan. It's 100 degrees, liable to be a frog or a snake or a dog come through at any time. Y'all ought to try that out. The results of the resource. And I'll be done in just a minute. Resource revival, God and God alone. Requirement of revival again and again. The request for revival. It's an answer to prayer. The results of a revival is joy. And rejoicing. But then we've got the redirection of revival. Here's what revival will do. He said, wilt thou revive us again, that thy people may rejoice, what? in thee. The redirection of revival. It'll recenter your direction. When we get up out of bed in the morning, brother, the first thing that ought to be on our mind is God. Amen. Because you've got to make a decision every day when you get up whether you're going to live for Him or not. It's an everyday, and more than that, it's every hour, every minute. We get hit by so much in this world, so many things come our direction. You've got to make the decision over and over and over again that you're going to do what's right in the eyes of God. And it ought to be the first thing, but oft times we get our focus and attention on the wrong thing. And it happens down at the house of God a lot of times. You get your focus and attention on the wrong thing. Something's going on, something stirred up, somebody said this, did this, I didn't like this, I didn't like that, whatever. Focus gets on. But I'm telling you, the redirection of revival will put your focus back on Him. Amen. When true revival, that's why I have problems with a lot of these little pop-up revivals that are going on that make the news and everything else, and it just seems like, I mean, the focus of it ain't really on Him. I read a quote from one particular person, I think it's David Dixon, I've got written down. He said this, "When God changeth the cheer of His people, their joy should not be left in the gift, but in the giver." Amen. If there's one thing I've learned getting older and having kids and watching them grow up, and I mean this, I figured out I buried my dad, buried my baby sister, buried my middle brother in between me and my oldest brother. My oldest brother's incarcerated and I hadn't seen him in years. And when you start losing your family, when you start putting them in the ground, you'll start figuring some things out about life that I wish I would have had a handle on before I lost them. Because I figured out this about life. It ain't what you have, what you acquire. That means little to nothing to you. I just saw Bill Gates the other day, and it wasn't Bill Gates, it was Steve Jobs started maybe Microsoft, Apple, Steve Jobs. I don't know why I saw this the other day, but it come up and somebody asked him, said, "What was it like getting wealthy?" He said, "Well," he said, "honestly," he said, "I was worth $1 million when I was 23. I was worth $10 million when I was 24 and $100 million when I was 25. It happened pretty quick." He said, "But honestly," he said, "it wasn't really all that great." And this is what he said. I don't know if it's true or not. He said, "I never done it for the money anyway. I was doing it to try to put a good product out there." I don't know if that's true or not. But I'll tell you this much. I've known several individuals down through the years who were millionaires. And know several. Brother Camp, I'm telling you the truth. I've only met one or two that was happy. Most of them are miserable. I remember one particular one. Well, I'm not even going to tell the story. They're just miserable. Worried about somebody trying to take it from them. Worried about losing it. Worried about this and that. Miserable. And I figured out in life, it ain't about what you can acquire or what you have. The real joy is sharing that with other people. And if your other people begin, you start losing them and burying them, you'll find out that things of this world don't really have that much value to you. Me and my wife a few years ago, God blessed and blessed us with the ability to build a house. And we'd never done it. And we built a house. And I'm proud of the house. I love the house. I thank God for the house. But my father never got to see the house. My sister didn't live long enough to come and join me at the house. I didn't get to, and I figured out, as much as I love it and I appreciate it, I never got to share it with those that I was closest to. And I'm telling you, that's where you'll get when your focus gets off on the wrong thing. when our focus is on the giver instead of the gift, you'll experience true joy. I'm satisfied with whatever God gives me because I'm satisfied with Him. I'm satisfied when He closes a door just as much as I am when He opens a door because I'm satisfied in Him. That's how Paul said, in all things give thanks. How could Paul say that? How could you do such a thing? How could you thank God on a bad day of your life when you're satisfied with the giver? When you're satisfied with Him. I know there's some of you in here, it's been mentioned, that have lost loved ones to death. I know, sister, it's heartbreaking. I know it is. My dad, I was with him one Friday morning, and I run some errands with him, and I took him over to my sister's house to pick her car up. Her battery was dead, and he was going to drive it home and fix it at home. And I left there, and my oldest boy, is not here this morning. He was younger then, and my dad had pulled one of his teeth at the house. You know, he just got him the old school way. They'd probably try to get you for child abuse nowadays, the way things are these days. But he just got him with a wash rag. That's what we call him. You know, he's a wash rag, pulled it out. Caden screamed like you'd killed him. And I remember that Friday morning, my dad was sitting in, he was sitting there in my sister's car. We had boosted it off and got it running. My sister was going to drive his truck home. And I can see my dad sitting in the window of that car. It's the last words that I heard him say. And he said, "Hey, Caden," he said, "next time you got a loose tooth, who are you going to get to pull it?" And my son turned around to him, didn't even stutter, said, "Not you." My dad just laughed, and I saw him, the last thing I heard come out of his mouth was a laugh. I got 5 minutes up the road and got a call from my sister. My dad had pulled out. She pulled out behind him. He had a massive heart attack, hit the car in front of him. My sister hit her. And my dad, by the time I got back to the ambulance, my dad was on the gurney and he was gone. That was a Friday. We buried him on a Monday. That next Friday, I get a call. I was working third shift at that time. "You need to get down to the hospital. They've got Jenny," my sister, "that hit him in the back." I get down there, and the neurosurgeon takes me behind the desk and says, "You need to look at this. This is bad. She had a tumor on the base of her brain, inoperable brain cancer." They said, "You might as well start making plans." This was the next Friday. We didn't even have time to grieve my dad being gone. I know what it's like to lose people. But I'm not angry at God over it because I'm satisfied with Him. He's the giver of life and the taker of life, and He knows when to bring people in and when to take them out, and He knows how to spare them from things, and He knows how to finally bring them into His care and love on them when it's His time. I'm satisfied with Him, amen. That's how you can thank God on the bad days of life, because you're satisfied with the one that's in control, and revival will do that for you. It'll put your perspective back in the right place. So I'm telling you, I don't know that I've done a good job this morning bringing all this out, but it's all right there in just that verse. But I could say that we could come to a conclusion this morning and say this: we need revival. We need revival. But I want to ask you one thing before Brother Camp comes up and takes over. Who wants revival? I want revival. I want it, Brother Steve. I need it, but I want it. I want it in my life. I want it in my heart. I want to rejoice again. I want to have Him in the epicenter of my plans, amen. I try to. I really do, but I need Him to help me do the rest of it, amen. I want revival. Come on, Brother Steve.